Please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
Here comes the donkey again.
Is that what caught your fancy?
I'm an influencer.
You've got your tits in a ball.
What are you talking about? Keep in mind, they couldn't get Cheech.
Owen Wilson's like, what do you do?
Everybody makes fun of Jimmy today. Mad at a
live on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hey everybody, welcome to the program, episode 24Q. Garen just scampered out of the room to get me my tea. I so badly wanted to start. I was going to do a whole bit about I can't talk, my dry mouth. And then he
realized at the last second.
He realized as if he left the oven on at home.
He panicked the way I've never seen Garen panic in my life.
Yeah. That was, oh God, somebody needs your tea.
Yeah.
Good heavens. Here it comes, the sweet, sweet elixir. Could you imagine if Dr. Sugarman handed me one of these, Dr. Sugarman?
Oh, the sweetness.
Sweet, sweet Sugarman hands me a sweet, sweet elixir.
That's quadruple sweet.
Oh, that's a...
Garen's drinking one today.
I had a snatch for myself.
What are you doing?
I'm starving.
Starving?
A good answer for that, then, is obviously unsweetened or artificially sweetened iced tea. What is it?
It's artificially sweetened.
It's got a... what, it's got Splenda in it or whatever?
I don't know. I don't have my...
whatever the non... what's the generic term for Splenda?
Sucralose.
Sucralose.
Yeah, we got a Balaband. I found him.
Balaband.
All right. I thought we had a Balaband situation.
Giving up soda, guys.
Really? Good for you.
Yeah, I finished off my last Diet Dr. Pepper at the movies of the day, and now we'll see what happens.
Congratulations. What movie did you see?
I don't remember what it was.
Hey, did you shake well before you drank yours, Garen?
I didn't.
I didn't either.
Uh-oh.
It says right on there, shake well. I thought this one you didn't have to.
Sediment.
I would have thought the exact same thing, because it's not mixed.
But we failed.
But drinking that is no different than drinking a diet soda, right? In terms of...
it doesn't have the same amount of sodium.
Okay.
In fact, it's much better to drink this than soda.
And that's what Garen's most concerned with, is his sodium intake.
This is black tea, huh?
Hey, come on, dude.
Got caffeine.
Don't be racist.
African-American tea.
What are you trying to cut out? What are you trying to accomplish with not drinking soda? I mean, because carbonation is also not good for you.
This has a lot of sodium in it.
The caffeine, mainly.
So it has that.
Yeah, so you're...
well, the sucralose doesn't matter, because I drink that in my iced tea. Wait, my green tea.
Okay. Which also has caffeine.
So, Garen, look up how much sodium's in a Coke Zero, please. I want to do a little.
Is that a per serving? Do you go one of the per serving?
Yeah, I guess. 8 ounce.
Yeah, 8 ounce serving.
If you didn't read the show title, you will tell by the casual nature of this conversation. This is a gang episode.
Yeah. Look that up.
This literally, if you want to know what it's like when we're not recording, this is it. Like,
it's pretty close.
It couldn't be.
With the exception of I don't tell Garen what to do.
Yeah,
that's true.
He tells me what to do.
What?
A 12-ounce serving of regular Coke contains 45 milligrams of sodium. A 12-ounce serving of Coke Zero contains 40 milligrams
of sodium.
Yeah,
that's 4 times what's in this.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Why so much sodium in the soda? Is that what the so part of soda means?
I think it is, yeah. I think it's at sodium drinks.
Soda is short for sodium dioxide.
It is. Now, this...
I mean, that... I would believe that if somebody said it were true, who knew something.
Yeah, you thought that I didn't know what carbonation and carbs meant.
Oh, I didn't. I, at the time, did not get your joke.
I like how that started out sounding like it was going to be a classic Elliot rationalization. Yep. And then at the end, he was just like, I'm dumb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At the time, I did not get your joke. Now, listen, the World Wide Web, people.
Oh, goodness gracious.
People are very invested in our show, and we appreciate that.
Yes.
But they've also spoiled the fun of you
so
revealing
much,
on this
so
show.
So much spoily.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect them to actually do that research.
Yeah, but we got some Uber fans.
Yeah, which is super gratifying.
I appreciate that they are that invested in the show. Yeah. At the same time, we have a show to produce, two shows each week to produce. One of them would have been maybe to reveal on this program after talking about campaigning and running for this piece of office. Did you?
That's a weird
Well, because you didn't get the whole office. You're going to be sheriff.
That's fair.
Two half. People got this thing.
Yeah, it's half an office.
Did you? We all know the answer, but please reveal to those that don't.
Sure.
Did you win whatever I voted for are you for? I don't even know what.
What is the title,
yes,
sir?
Business rep.
Okay.
So business rep of the Palms
Neighborhood
Council.
Yes.
All right. And there were three people running in that category.
That is true.
Are you one of the two people that were voted in?
No. What? I'm kidding. I want to see your face.
I'd be very interested. All of a sudden, it's like, because you were not saying it was not
contested.
Wait, what's the word I wanted?
I don't know.
The
official.
Official.
Yes.
The official results are not. Are they not in yet? Or
they will. They the earliest that they will be in is Friday, which, as of this recording, tomorrow night. So, 72 hours is what they say.
God, they got like 30 people voting. Why does it take so long?
It's, first of all, it's 600, which is a record.
600 dickheads, so suck it.
Yeah, so fuck off.
It's a record turnout.
Yeah, go back to soda. We don't like you off soda. You're kind of a prickly little cock.
That's like a shirt. That shirt's coming.
No, it's not. I can tell you in advance. That shirt's not coming.
It'll be like a little chicken with a lot of spikes.
I'll tell you, Pod Swag doesn't need another stack of shirts over there.
Maybe I'll make it. There were 600 to 700 folks voted in ours, but there were like six different neighborhood councils who also voted at the same time. And there's very little staff for this purpose with the city of Los Angeles. So that's why it takes time.
The city of Los Angeles gets involved. It's not just...
No, they do not allow us to handle this business.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I did not know that.
And that's the reason why there was some confusion for some folks who were voting, whatever, because each neighborhood council has a different set of rules, so they had to figure that out.
Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Any celebrities show up to vote? Like,
besides you?
Well, come on. Let's not talk stupid. Is there anybody, is there anybody famous that lives in Palms?
I'm sure there is, but I did not see any of
them.
They
did not participate.
This was literally just Palms. Mm-hmm. There was no other thing on the ballot.
Correct.
I saw somebody with a sticker yesterday.
Yes, June 4th was a Los Angeles voting as well, which you're in Burbank, so Matt,
I didn't get it.
Yeah, we voted for double E for the money for public schools.
I actually voted no.
Dude.
No, if you do the research,
dude,
if you do the research.
No.
Did you actually read the measure?
No. No.
Yeah,
no.
Boy, do you want to take your vote back now?
No.
All of the graft and fraud in LAUSD.
I can't.
And not only that, but if it passed, then that would mean that Prop 13 would not get repaired, which is more important for the state of California.
Because
there's a piece of legislation that is in progress in the state Senate that basically they were waiting to see whether EE passed, because supposedly then a lot of other cities might do that, and then Prop 13 would never get changed.
I'm going to look into that after this conversation.
Fair enough.
Appreciate you saying it. I wish we would have had it before Tuesday, but
that's
all
right.
I will tell you this, that you are not welcome to my home.
What was that?
That was already the case.
Was that already
just renewing
Wait,
that?
Does that affect Oliver though? I thought.
Yeah, he goes to LAUSD.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know if he was like in a charter. I don't actually understand how any of that works. To be honest,
it's not a private charter. It's a public charter.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, it's a very complex issue.
It's not the thing that Betsy DeVos loves. It's people that it still gets. Go ahead.
It's a very complex issue. It is unfortunate that the LAUSD did. There's a whole report that was done, and there were 20 to 50 recommendations that were made for LAUSD, and the only one that they backed was give us more money. They didn't do any of the other things because they're hard. You have to release some. There's like $600 million worth of value in employees, not teachers. There's twice as many employees that aren't teachers that are teachers in LAUSD. There's a lot of bloat. And so voting for it, I don't say you're dumb for voting for it.
I don't say you're dumb for not.
There you go. But you're thinking it.
Dumb as much as cruel and heartless.
No, but see, here's the thing, though, is that in the long run, it will actually, I believe, the reason why I vote against it, it'll actually make things worse. Because they're not making the hard choices if that money comes in. There are hard choices that need to be made, and LAUSD needs to kind of be revamped, and the current
this
administration...
This really feels like an off-the-air conversation.
Fair enough. That's fine.
In fact, I thought we ended it, and then it came back.
Yeah. All right.
As it would, normally.
Wait, what now?
What the fuck is with him and his no soda attitude today?
No, I mean,
who's going to go get him a soda?
Elliot would always go back to a subject once the matter is closed.
This is
100% true.
This is 100% true.
We could put the biggest period at the end of a sentence and he'll go, certainly back.
Speaking of periods, there's six periods in most schools. Let's talk about the LAUSD problem.
Yeah, that's boy.
But
I actually need to make an apology to you guys.
What's that?
I had a celebrity sighting that I had to spoil on Twitter.
Luckily, I didn't see that.
For two reasons.
All right, we can do it. I don't know if you guys even know who this is, number one. Number two, I was quite thrilled to see this person.
I probably saw the
thing. Oh, is it your Trayvon, whoever, or whatever?
Troye Sivan, yeah.
Yeah, Troye Sivan.
All right. Who's that?
I did see that.
It was Troye Sivan?
And didn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is that? Who is that?
Troye Sivan's a singer. He's a big singer. That's pretty exciting.
All right.
He's beautiful.
We locked eyes. It was.
Oh, eye lock.
How did that go? Did he respond to the eye lock?
I think he looked at me knowing that I would know who he is. I don't know why I would assume that, but I didn't say anything. I had a bag of Chipotle and a giant iced tea in my hand. So I was like, okay.
This was post Dr. Pepper, huh?
Did this, no, this, this inspire the,
No, it was after Dr. Pepper. Okay. No, it didn't.
ADP.
Yeah, it was ADP after Dr. Pepper.
Who else went to see him in concert recently? Was it Rachel Acquaintance and her daughter? Did they go see?
I don't know.
Sounds
possible. Is it Sivan? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Do I know any of his music? Is that something I know?
No.
It's pop stuff. I don't know if you like it or not. You might like it.
I like popular music.
I love it.
All right. Is the show over? Did it ever start?
Yeah, all right. So we got to hit the randomizer at some point because it's episode Q, so we don't have any idea. But, you know, what's your past Queen Latifah? What do you got? I'm sure there's five that I'm not thinking of. Did the Facebook group have anything, Elliot? Oh,
I haven't looked.
On Q?
I can think of one male vocal.
You can, huh?
Yeah. A guy that I saw in this neighborhood. I saw him at Mendocino Farms.
And his name begins with Q?
It's not a real name. It's his rap nom de Mike.
Q-Tip.
Was it Q-Tip?
It wasn't Q-Tip. That would have been exciting. Yeah, there's a lot. Actually, now that I think about it, yeah, there's probably a lot of rappers.
I'm going to tell you this. When we get to the male version of this, we're using the randomizer because I can't think of any.
You said one before we started.
No, but he's a producer.
No, Quincy Jones had albums.
You're 100% true, but they were, he produced them and had musicians and singers.
What was that? You saw that documentary, right?
Yeah, I guess I did.
He had that crazy album with the weird thing on it, and then he had the statue of it in his house. Remember that?
Yeah, but he doesn't sing or.
Oh, boy.
But it says Quincy Jones on the cover of the album.
Yeah, but so does the Frank Sinatra album. You know, it's Quincy Jones.
Maybe he's an instrumentalist. Is that possible?
Yeah. No, I could be totally wrong. I thought you're right, because he was like a jazz. What did he play? I forget.
He's an American record producer, musician, composer, and film producer.
Yeah.
So
what is his instrument?
Yeah, because I kind of thought he was singing on that, at least that one
trumpet,
album.
French horn.
I don't think so. But
drums, vocals, piano, keyboards, and synthesizer.
What has he sung on? Find out what he sung on.
I mean, so let's just say John Coltrane. That wouldn't count because he's not singing.
No, I'm not just saying. I, you know, in fairness, I always saw Quincy Jones as a producer.
I agree. I until I saw that documentary.
Yeah, I don't consider him to be a.
What if it turns out he's kind of like Alfred Hitchcock and he does backup vocals on every single song?
That would be wonderful.
Probably pretty cool. The fans did have Queen Latifah, and then everything else. I like that the second place one is Partomizer.
Wonderful.
Then Q Lazarus, Quinn C. Jones, Quoney Quilub, and Coyce DeWitt were the that was the comedy that
I thought you weren't even going to read those out loud anymore.
Yeah.
Those,
I wasn't, except for this, because there's nothing else there.
Yeah, I got you.
And what did you have for
male?
This gentleman,
Quavos?
Quavo, yeah. Oh, Quavo. I saw Quavo from Migos at Mendocino Farms.
Was Jose there?
Quavos Rancheros.
I apologize.
God, would you just run a 7-Eleven and get a Dr. Pepper, please?
I apologize.
It's not Quavos, it's Quavo.
But please, just go over there, whatever it takes to get Garen back, because this isn't going to fly all day today.
And what does that joke even mean? Are you talking about Cuervo? A totally different word that starts with a different letter?
Probably. I don't drink.
I don't either, but at least I know Jose Cuervo.
Cuervo. And what did you say, Quavo?
Quavo.
That's more of that eggs thing, right?
Closer to eggs.
Quavo.
Quavos Rancheros.
Rancheros.
Quavos, that's an H.
Quavos.
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 But it's closer to the joke that he is attempting to.
Yeah, I mean, we could spend all day trying to decode what the hell you thought that was, how that was going to equal
only
comedy.
There's only three words that will solve his problem. That is Diet Dr. Pepper.
I want him. Here's the thing. You know, we're going to be off the week of 4th of July because Jimmy's going on vacation. maybe quit then. Just give yourself, we need you, we can't have you going through withdrawal on the show. That's the problem.
It also works out well because it's the beginning of July. Yeah. So it's like start of the new month.
Fresh start.
Here we go. Fresh start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go.
But until then, we need you juicing.
Yeah. And since you're going over there anyway, why don't you grab me a Coke Zero? So, I mean, it really works out for everybody. Hey, weren't you supposed to get waters before you came in here today, too?
Oh, we talked about it. Since there's no guest, we realized we don't really need them today.
Okay.
Well, I can just get them this afternoon or tomorrow.
All right, terrific. All right, well, that works out very well. All right, you guys had a conversation.
Although, I guess I can grab it when I go after the show.
Oh, you're not going after the show. You're going in about 3 minutes. Because you even suggesting that tells me that you need some soda.
But now he's halfway into this other caffeinated beverage.
Yeah, that's not... as a guy that drinks these, nothing.
Doesn't do it for you.
You know what it might do? It might be a nice if you want to get off
caffeine. Off.
Yeah.
So you don't go cold turkey.
Does it say how much caffeine?
I was about to ask that. What is the?
They never really do. They always just kind of say other ingredients and they include caffeine. They never give you the numbers on that.
That should be a percentage, shouldn't it?
I agree. It's a drug.
Yeah.
No matter what.
It's like with liquor. It says you like what percentage?
Can they even measure? Because they're not adding caffeine to it.
Yeah, but you can. They can burn stuff out of it and figure out.
They can know. Yeah.
They don't even. They don't. This is odd. They don't even list it. They just say premium brewed black tea.
So because it's part of the tea, they don't have to say it because it's just
sounds like
inherent to black tea.
Black tea is not caffeine free, correct?
That is correct. Black tea, all tea. If it's real tea, all tea is the same thing. It's just a different point in its life cycle.
I didn't know that.
Our black teas, including diet, contain 15 milligrams of caffeine in every 8 ounce serving.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. So now look up.
This is 30 milligrams of caffeine in this.
Okay. So now look up diet Dr. Pepper and Coke Zero.
I'm sorry. What'd you come up with? How'd you come up with that?
If that's Arizona Beverages FAQs.
Yeah, but give me those numbers again, please.
Oh,
that's two servings.
This can is it's 15 milligrams for every 8 ounce serving, and this is two servings.
This is a 16 ounce can.
Yeah, it's a little taller.
Yeah,
oh, it's 15.5
servings per container, approximately two.
Okay, so we're talking about
30 milligrams.
30 milligrams. Now I want to know what a soda is, like what a Diet Dr. Pepper.
And then let's jump to Monster Drink and see what that has.
Probably twice as much as Dr. Pepper.
Not necessarily caffeine. It's the taurine that does it, isn't it?
I think there's a lot of caffeine.
It also has caffeine. But I'll
tell you this. I remember whenever I was on those, I was never more pleasant than when I was having three of those a day. I was calm.
Yeah.
Nothing seemed to bother me.
You never flew off the handle.
Never.
Why'd you ever stop?
I don't know. It was almost like it was the same as people that smoke dope. It was very calming for me.
Yeah.
I
also don't know,
Garen, if you got a dry tickle. Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Coke Zero Sugar contains 2.83 milligrams of caffeine per fluid ounce.
So for 16 ounces, that would be 32, like 40 something.
So 40. What are we at with this? 30?
30.
So it's not that much more.
Yeah. But it is more.
So you said
we assumed it was because you said this one doesn't have any effect on you. All right.
Yeah, these have no effect on me.
Because I think some tea is actually more caffeine than soda.
I thought so too.
At least that was my...
Yeah. 45, let's call it.
Diet Dr. Pepper is 3.42 milligrams of caffeine per fluid ounce.
Oof.
That's more.
That's going to be...
Oh, that's more, brother. That's... What do you got there? What is that, 52?
Yeah, if I do 50, a 16 54. Ounce, yeah.
It's 54?
I don't know, maybe I got the...
I think we're sticking with the 16 ounce just so we kind of across the
apples
board.
Apples to apples.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. One serving of Monster Energy,
what
86
do they call
milligrams of caffeine.
Oh my God. And what's a serving? What is a serving, 8 ounces?
It's 10 milligrams per fluid ounce.
So that's 10, twice.
10,
that's roughly twice the Dr. Pepper. No, it's four times. I thought
Dr. Pepper was 3.2 or something.
Oh, sorry.
So it's three times that. It's four times the Coke Zero.
Right.
And it's almost more than five times the iced tea.
Per ounce. How big are those cans that you're drinking?
You were doing the same size as this.
They were 40s, right? Or 32?
Was it that big?
They were big. They were maybe 20 ounce?
Oh, wow.
No, it was more.
24 ounce?
It was more than 20.
I want to say 24 ounce.
Holy business.
Yeah, maybe 24, but I think it could have even been 30.
Gee, I wonder.
It says one serving is 240 grams.
Oh, that's annoying because that's not fluid.
Grams.
How much does it weigh?
Graham isn't even a measurement of liquid.
So it's 86 milligrams.
No, he hosts that comedy Film Nerds.
Yeah.
And I don't know how this helps at all. Why would Monster Drink be talking about it?
I don't know.
It makes no sense at all.
So it's 86 milligrams in a 240 gram serving is what I'm...
That doesn't help us at all because we don't know what the volume of that is.
What it does tell us is that that soda is one third caffeine.
yeah.
Yep. My
and,
God.
And also they don't want you to know because that's why they're using weird ways of telling you.
Yeah.
It didn't affect me at all. I was very, it was the most relaxed I've ever been in my life. Nothing bothered me other than people breathing across a stadium. Why is that guy doing it? Why is this guy in my way? And it took, I can't believe how long it took me to realize, hey, maybe it's the amount of caffeine by the barrel that you're taking into your body.
But it did enhance your ability to sense things. So maybe it's like a superhero power.
Oh, you think I should go back on it then?
Yeah. Well, only at night.
No. Were you here for that, right?
I think he was here for the tail end of it.
Of what? Of which?
Of when he was doing that stuff in the old studio.
Yeah.
When did you stop?
Look, I'm used to a lot of anger. Well,
no.
So.
He was here because I was doing it when I started back at Conan at the 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely, I remember you're drinking them.
Yeah, that's when, because I...
Oh, back at the TBS.
When we got back to TBS, because I couldn't fit into my suits because I got fat over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, I'm going to lose weight. And then, you know, some dumb fucking thing I read said, you know, Monster Drink will help you burn a lot of energy. It's like, oh, I'll do that. I'll drink. Oh, if one will do that, I'll drink 9,000 a day. That'll
make sense. You did have more than one a day, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I might have had two
in a show.
Here.
I remember in a show you would sometimes have a second one.
Yep.
Which is that. Think about that.
By the way, I still find the one that I drank, that zero carbonation. Mm. Get it now?
Uh-huh.
was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the taste of it.
And you could shake that one up.
You could shake your love.
Zero carbonation.
Yeah.
I thought that would work.
Get him a Dr. Pepper as well.
Do you want to call Jay Moore so he can come back and check out that icing?
Check out what?
Oh, the icing?
Yeah.
By the way, 5-Hour Energy.
Yeah.
215 milligrams of caffeine per 2 fluid-ounce bottles.
What?
Wow. Well, that's why you only have that.
Yeah.
Well,
extra strength. Again, that's the premise of that, is that you want to drink that.
But how much can you physically consume before you die of a heart attack?
Because I was going to ask, you remember Jolt Cola?
Yeah,
because when I was in high school, that's what the nerds did because we didn't want to break the rules and have alcohol. So I wonder how that compares with all these, because that's, you know, that's the sort of
10 milligrams per fluid ounce
is what?
Jolt.
10 milligrams of caffeine per ounce. So it's the same as Monster.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the place,
without the taurine.
When I got addicted to the Monster, in addition to this nonsense that I spoke of, I did a pilot. And one of the sponsors of the pilot was Monster Drink. So the Monster Drink was there, and we had to drink it as part of it.
Yeah.
And it was the thing. Kathy Ladman was on the pilot. So was Derek. Damn it.
And the Dominic.
Derek Waters?
He was a guest on this show.
No, not
Derek Hughes. Waters.
No, African-American comedian. Derek. Damn it. Am I getting the name wrong?
Maybe. I think I know, because he was a guest while I was...
Oh, Dwayne Perkins?
Dwayne Perkins.
There we go.
Thank you. Jesus. Yeah, not Derek. Dwayne. So I drank, and so we were there from, you know, shooting from like 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. So, I bring this up to answer your question. I may have had 7.
Oh, my God.
And so I remember, I was like, holy shit. I remember like... still kind of not putting it on the Monster Drink, but kind of going, boy, I'm just all jittery and going, I'm going to go to the gym to work this out. And then that made it worse because somehow I thought sweating would get out of my body, but some, like, then working out made my heart beat faster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
in addition to that. So it's like, I don't know how I didn't have a heart attack that day.
Mm-hmm.
Because like 7, like if you do like any sort of research, 7, I think, should have killed me.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sounds like it.
Yeah.
It does seem like Monster should, in a situation like that, maybe provide some cans with the label on the outside, but maybe water on the inside so that you don't have to caffeinate.
Well, I don't know if it's on them.
It is
to give me a placebo drink.
Or a PA could just dump it out and put water in it.
Yeah, PA should have certainly done that.
If it's like Monster PL and everyone's like, oh, look at the brand new Monster drink.
They got it. Hey, I bet you would fucking work. I bet you'd believe that it was working on you.
Yeah. Maybe.
A lethal dose of caffeine for most people is about 10 grams.
So that's a million times what's in... No, 1,000 times rather, right?
Yeah.
1,000 times?
a thousand times what's in 1 ounce of Monster.
So you have to have 1,000 ounces.
Okay. So how many?
Divide that by 16. Let's say.
Well, that's, I think
if a can is 270,
that's only five.
That's five cans.
270 grams? No, 270 milligrams.
Right. But 270 milligrams times five. Oh, but no, wait, it's not 1 gram. It's
1,000 grams. Yeah. So I guess that would be
I think you might have been right. I think it is a million.
Yeah, it might be a million. So my head
just blew up. I don't.
But people have died from that because they've drank too much and then exerted themselves. So
the big thing that happens with some people is they'll do the like a vodka and
Red Bull
or something like that, and they get super dehydrated with the combination and also get revved up, and that causes big problems.
But I mean, that's a big deal with gamers too that are doing like these big marathon runs and they're drinking Monster or whatever,
and they're just sitting and
just yeah
mm-hmm. yeah sun's probably involved.
What?
I said the sun's probably involved in doing.
Oh, like I'm guessing it's not.
I know. Big runs. Sun's getting you. You know that sort of thing.
Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah, right.
If you're playing Fortnite, you have to have your guns.
Well, you're getting close to that too. The summer's coming up, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Temperatures rising.
Got that vacation coming up. I got to get my arms ready to just put a different shirt on so that it's not exposed to the elements.
Do you dry clean that shirt or do you just wash it?
Pardon?
That shirt. What do you do? I have the same one in a different color. Do you just wash it in the washing machine?
This one just goes into that.
Because I feel like the collar
can be problematic.
Can get into trouble.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yours looks fine. That's what I mean. I thought maybe you dry cleaned it.
I've only worn this might be the second time. Oh, maybe the third time.
No, maybe, yeah. I've worn mine 3 times, so that explains it.
You what?
I've worn mine 3 times.
So have you only worn? No, I've seen you.
No, I've worn mine.
Well, with
it's a little big on me, so I don't. It's not a go-to shirt to wear at a function or something like that.
You got to wash your polos in cold, and then take them out of the dryer when they're just done. Otherwise, yeah, your collar will go.
Yeah, why don't you vote no on that, asshole? You do that. Right? It was my kids at school struggling with crayons. They don't have enough supplies. But you go ahead and vote your fucking no, dickhead. Karen, settle down.
We're going to run the power miser?
Yeah, let's run the power miser. Right, let's do that. And then let's go around the horn and talk about what's been going on in our lives here. We didn't really have a chance to talk about what's going on in our lives last episode because, once again, the tornado of Jay Moore was here. And
Hurricane the Jay Mornado.
The Mornado?
The Mornado. There you go.
I like that. That's how he's not selling those t-shirts is beyond me. The Mornado.
The Mornado.
Why don't you text him? It'll either start a chain of 57 texts or zero from him.
Somehow Colin Quinn will tweet me back or text me back. All right, let's go. Let's hit the Pardomizer and find out what letter we'll be playing for today. Are we playing for money? Yeah, nobody matched last time, right? The P? Nobody had Pat Benatar.
No, that's correct.
There we go.
Pardomized got 12.
Which is...
12th letter of the alphabet is L.
It's L. But we just did L. We just did L.
So well, dude, that was all right, a month ago.
Well, let me write down my thing here.
All right, so I am telling the fans.
Yeah, tell the fans. Get their mouth their asses. Actually, we're 27 minutes in. Why don't we do our first break here?
Yeah.
And then that'll give us a chance to write this down, everybody to think about something. We'll come back. Hopefully in that break, Aaron will run and get himself a soda because I swear to God, if he acts up one more goddamn time, you know, I'll pay for Christine to fly here and I'll put her up in a little apartment.
Okay.
Right? So
sounds reasonable.
You know, but I mean, he could solve all that by getting a soda. We'll be back right after this.
Hey guys, Matt here with some dates for you. Never Not Funny is on Twitter at Never Not Funny, run by Garen Cockrell. He is at My Name is Garen. Elliot is at Elliot Hochberg. Jimmy is at Jimmy Pardo. And Never Not Funny is on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/nevernotfunny for photos of all of our guests and other great stuff. Also, Jimmy Pardo is going to be doing stand-up comedy at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California. That's August 15th through the 17th. And then Never Not Funny is going to be live at the Bug Theater in Denver, Colorado on August 25th. That's a matinee show, 3 p.m. show. Go to nevernotfunny.com and click the tour link if you want a ticket or two or more to that show. And for Jimmy's stuff, go to jimmypardo.com, click his tour link, and enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, episode 24Q. Now, we did it on the air, right?
We did right around the
So much time has passed, and you're getting lectured by Elliot about how the world works.
Seriously, I just had a mouth malfunction because we've been just sitting here being yelled at about
how election protocol. Good Lord.
Aw.
Good. You know, how often you could have meetings with this council?
There's one a month for the main council, and that's actually... It should be more because it's hard to get things done once a month. And then there's committees. So there's like, I think, six committees. Each of them meet once a month as well.
Okay, so you're going to have two meetings a month.
Two, maybe three, depending on...
Get a lot of this out of your system. That's the reason I bring it up. Let's get a lot of that out there. Let them know that what you're all about.
Yeah, if anyone out there, any fan who likes statistics, wants to run a word count on Elliot pre- and post-election. Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I'm hoping... We all hope, of course, that it goes down.
Yeah, well, that's all we can do is waiting. Certainly.
And a hoping.
I would like to, at some point, though, hear your views on the LAUSD. I know that's never come up, but I'd like to hear your views on that if I could. Single guy with no children. If I could hear your views, that would be terrific. You're an idiot.
Beep, beep. MCO.
You are an idiot.
Was that, by the way, I forgot to ask, was that proposition named after Eazy-E?
I believe it was. Or... Edwin Encarnacion, who plays for the Mariners. Right, they call him E5. Oh.
I will say one thing. It has nothing to do with EE directly. It's disheartening how many people didn't know that there was a vote on June 4th.
I was going to say that earlier.
Well, it was literally the only thing on the ballot.
Yeah. And it was a problem with the scheduling of it. They rushed it a little bit. We need answers. No, we need answers to this stuff.
We can't do this again. We can't do this again.
But people aren't voting.
I didn't know. I had no idea.
And you were eligible to vote for it because Sherman Oaks, right?
You're in LA.
Yeah, but that's the thing, guys. They don't. I had no clue.
Yeah.
Not an idea.
I heard a lot of people didn't vote because Hillary hadn't shown up to their house. They were mad.
Yeah.
You know who did show up at my house?
No.
Troy Sivan. Who came to your house? Nobody came.
I was going to say Bernie or Trump, but I don't know.
Oh, wait, I was going to play a little Troy Sivan for you. Okay. Really, anything to get off this topic.
I wonder how he voted. He lives in LA now.
Who's that?
Troy Sivan.
Troy didn't vote.
Is he British? What's his thing?
He's Australian.
Huh. Down under, huh?
Just living in.
Just a guy trying to be part of the conversation. Oh, I wish.
Wow.
I hit my ring on the table. That's how much I enjoyed that joke. Good piece of business from Garrett Cockrell. Matt, while you look that up. Oh, you got it
right? This is the one here we go. That is on the radio right now. I'm going to skip ahead. This is called I'm So Tired.
Oh, this is with Love or whatever.
Yeah. I can understand why Garen would like an artist who has a song called I'm So Tired.
Well, that's not him. That's the other guy.
What do you mean? They're both singing. Not right now, but...
Yeah. But this is the other guy singing.
My point is they're both singing the song called I'm So Tired. Yeah,
the title on Troy Sivan's album is I'm So Tired.
What's on?
Oh, it's on the other guy's album. Yes. My apologies.
Well, I don't give a shit about Troy Sivan. I just like this song.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it's like most current pop music. You could take it or leave it. It's kind of forgettable, but also enjoyable when you're listening to it.
I'll take your word for it. I didn't get deep enough into form an opinion on that.
I'll send you an MP3.
No, I'm good. I'm pretty good. If you send me that, then I could play it while Elliot sends me his voicemail about...
There's all sorts of problems with the budget and the LAOSD.
What letter are we doing?
L.
We're doing L. Doing it.
I know.
L for LAUSD.
Oh, very good. Let's check in with Elliot Hochberg eventually. But right now, we are
not now. We've heard plenty from me.
Directly to Garen Cockrell over there at the Pop Goals Reason for that, sponsored by dogpile.com. Now, Garen, I know that you went to Trivia on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I know that because of your tweet, how well you did.
Yep.
But why don't you tell these people that are wise enough not to follow you on Twitter?
It was Facebook. We won. It was just Eric and I.
Ooh, two-player team.
Two-player team wins.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Handily.
All right. Give us the final question.
Was the competition just weak? Were there not many people?
No, there was standard number.
Wow.
I got a sports question, right?
What was the sports question?
It was, where is the All-Star game going to be held?
The baseball All-Star game?
Yeah. And I wrote down Atlanta, and then I got up to turn it in, and Eric's like, wait, no. Because we would have heard all about that because of all the Georgia abortion stuff.
Yeah. All right, hang on, though. Let me see. Do I know where it's at? I don't.
You follow baseball. I literally haven't heard one thing about this. It could be anywhere but Atlanta.
I know it's not in Seattle. I know that.
That was going to be my guess.
Why do you know that?
I know because they just talked about. Well, for the team is kind of they're sucking this year, and they're kind of selling off their players because you wouldn't do that if your city and team and stadium were about to get a bunch of attention.
Where was it last year? We can eliminate that. Okay.
I know nothing about the All-Star game. When you're a kid, it's exciting because you get to. But you know, interleague play has, in my opinion, ruined the All-Star game because you get to see players all the time. It's no longer exciting to see the guy from
the Yankees play against the guy from the Dodgers.
Also, I will say this: that you know, being able to watch any game anywhere, anytime has also kind of ruined that. You don't get to see how neat would it look to see a Mariners uniform in that stadium,
right?
You know, or next to that guy's jersey. And that's kind of taking the fun away from it, says a 50-year-old man. But that was exciting when you were a kid. Like, and you would see all those guys, you know, taking a photograph because you didn't see that.
I think I can only compare it to when I followed the NBA. I think the All-Star game is a thing that it's exciting when you're younger. And then the older you get, the more you realize, why am I watching this
exhibition game?
It's not important to anything.
Right. And the All-Star game, like, they literally could just get rid of it and do the home run derby. Mm-hmm. And then if they added out the five top stolen base guys and tried to see how many they could get out of 10 attempts.
Yeah.
Like, that would be like more fulfilling than watching that game, which is.
Right. That's why I like in the NBA, they do a thing called there's the Saturday events, which includes the slam dunk competition.
That's fun, right?
The 3-point competition. Those are fun. And then the thing that I love is the skills challenge. They literally do that where they have to dribble through an obstacle course, pick up a ball and throw it through make a pass, basically do a one bounce pass, one like chest pass.
And because I'm not familiar with this.
Yeah.
Like in Michael Jordan's day.
Yeah.
Would he do that?
No,
or would it be Scottie Pippen would do that?
I don't know if it existed. No, it would have been like B.J. Armstrong. It would be like the point guard would do it.
I see.
But I don't know that if it existed back then. I can't remember when they started doing that.
That doesn't matter. That's not the point. Because I don't know current day players.
Right.
Like, what I'm asking is,
would a star do it?
Would a star do it?
No.
Or is it?
It would be like the guy, the sort of, you know, the guy that's not an all-star. He's not on the all-star team. He's not going to be playing on Sunday. But
he's an amazing player, and
he's got all-around skills, and they want to so they pick a. It's not every team doesn't get one player. It's like they pick a sort of select group of players.
Like the home run derby, they select 10 guys.
Started in 2003.
Okay. Yeah, but it's fun because it's usually point guards because it's about passing and dribbling and stuff like that. You know, you're not going to see Shaq out there trying to like run through cones.
I think that sounds fun.
It is. Yeah. It's really, and obviously it's timed. So
right.
It's whoever can get through it the fastest. And
who doesn't like an obstacle course?
I know.
I like it.
It's entertaining.
I fall down half the time.
Yeah. And the 3-point competition is exciting because it's also timed. I mean, you have to do it. You have to get all the stations and all the balls under a minute, or I forget what it is, what the time.
Because one presumes that you can hit 3-pointers without being.
If there was no time limit, if you had all the time in the world, I assume it would be a little easier. But yeah, so they have to go quickly from the corner, and then there's like, 6 or 7 stations or something. But when someone gets hot, I mean, that is fun to watch.
Yeah.
Oh, and the last ball in each rack is worth 2. So as it's going, when someone starts to heat up and they do a whole rack, they make all of them and they get to that last ball, and you're like, oh my God, is he going to get in his head or is he going to make it? Like, that is cool to watch. The slam dunk competition is no longer interesting.
It's not.
It's all kind of stunty and dumb. Like, hey, he jumped over a Kia. Like, who cares?
Was it a moving Kia?
No, that would be cool. It's always like on paper, like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And then they like pull the car in and he like jumps over the front of the hood. I'm like, that wasn't anything. Like anybody who can dunk would theoretically be jumping that height already.
Right.
So who cares?
I feel like basketball is unique in that kind of stuff can be done. Like in baseball, there isn't really
Well, again, you got the home run derby, and you got the stolen bases, which I just made that up.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure it's been discussed. I can't be the first.
Right.
Check Twitter.
Do they have longest home run kind of a situation? Like they have a giant stadium where you can see who?
No, they just have how many you can get in it is a timed event now. It used to be how many you were given. It was always timed, and then you got three outs.
And is it an automatic pitch machine rather than a person?
No, it's a human being.
Oh, wow. So then they have to pitch pretty quickly.
Yeah, and you use your own guy.
Oh, okay.
So if you're the guy that throws me my batting practice all the time, that's who gets to come out with you.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
That's cool.
For these kind of all-star games, do they also test out potential future rules? Do they ever do that?
No, they do that in the minor leagues.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They test out rules there. And there's one very controversial right now that in extra innings, they're talking about having if it goes past the 10th inning, at the top of the 11th inning, the inning starts with a player on second base.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and some people love that idea, and other people are like, well, that ruins the game. The joy of baseball is that it's endless. It could go on forever.
Right.
But some people are like, yeah, but maybe they shouldn't be 5 hours.
Did they do that in Little League or something? I feel like I've heard of that.
They started doing it in the minor leagues. And
Well, who gets to choose which player? Is it just whoever would have the next at bat?
Is on
second
base? No, that I don't know.
Because that would make a difference,
or is it
right?
A pinch runner.
Yeah, I think it'd be a pinch runner. You would put your fastest guy out there.
Yeah.
Right. What, now, why second? Why not just
because
first?
That's a scoring position. Because
scoring position.
I see.
Okay. And theoretically, if it's somebody fast, you could score on a base hit and end this fucking nightmare. I've already been here for 4 hours. Let's go. End this. Somebody hit something.
I've watched a few things about cricket recently, and cricket sort of has a similar thing, except cricket games were designed to go for many days.
Right.
But
right.
then, like, there's this newer cricket league where they've made it more like baseball, and it's shorter, and they like it better. But it's interesting to hear that, like, because how often do you have 10 innings or more? How often does that actually happen in baseball?
It happens quite often.
More than half the time?
No, certainly not.
20%? Okay, so
Aaron, look it up. Seems like it happened a lot last season. Like there was a lot of those.
Well, the playoffs the last couple of years, I feel like I've had a lot.
They
of
have.
Extra
that's true.
Games.
But yeah, that's look that up, please, Garen. Percentage of extra inning games in a major league season. Each team plays 162 games.
The 1,200 extra inning games since 2012 make up 8.7% of total MLB games in that span. One out of every 11 games played goes into extras.
All right.
I mean, that's noticeable, but doesn't sound significant.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't sound like a big problem.
No, they're always, Elliot, they've been trying to shorten the game and trying to find any rules to shorten the game because I think one human being complained once about how these games are too long.
Well, they're probably also looking at the landscape and saying, if the trends continue the way they go. The sports that are faster and have a defined length of time are going to do better on television. So,
but technically, none of the big four, if you include hockey, have an exact amount of time because with timeouts and other things.
But you got a pretty good idea.
Generally. Yeah.
Yeah. Baseball can be. But baseball's
the longest.
The complaint is always people saying, I go to the stadium and I'm there for 4 hours.
Right.
But it's like.
Do you not like baseball?
Are mostly complaining are the people that go once a year.
Right.
And it's like, you go once a year. Enjoy your time there.
Yeah.
What's the hurry to get home if you're going?
Yeah. Or show up at the third inning.
It's not cheap.
Yeah. Mm. Right. Don't you want to maximize your dollar? And. Although then if you're there too long, you have to buy more food. So it actually costs more money.
There's also the argument now because of another little girl got hit in the face with a baseball.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
And so they're once again debating, like at some point they have to put the net all the way down the way down to the outfield. And there's always the assholes on the internet, like blaming the parents. And, the parents should be more alert. People shouldn't be on their phone. It's like,
you can't.
Dude, you can't control it. Like, if you literally go down, I'm going to have a sip of my drink, and you go like this, boom, you're hit in the face.
Right.
You didn't do anything wrong except go reach for your beer. And so fuck that. Put the nets up.
What is? And are we going to say that old people who are slow can't go to baseball games then because they might get hit in the face?
Right.
Why? Who's against the net? What's bad about the net? You can see through it. Like if people sit behind home base, they can see everything.
Behind home base for the last 30 years, Matt.
Right.
And people, and minimum 30 years.
Yeah.
And those are the most expensive seats.
Right.
And the fear was that the season ticket holders would stop going, and they didn't stop going.
Right.
They sat behind there, and your eyes adjust after about 3 minutes, and you're done. So yeah. Again, and it's the people that go once a year or don't go at all that are bitching about it.
Yeah.
There's they want to blame the parents. They want to blame anything else. And it's like,
fuck, it's not that,
that
big of a deal.
It's to take it to the extreme. It's the same as guns. Oh, people are getting hit in the stands. And by the way, it's happening more now because these guys are bigger and better than ever.
Right.
So,
and fouling off is a strategy instead of like accidentally doing it.
Yeah.
You see Justin Turner, he'll like foul off 10 pitches because he's good. He's keeping the at-bat alive. He's
trying to find that pitch. And it's but again, to compare it to the guns, you have a solution. And the solution is to put nets up, which they do in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Yeah. Who the if you're complaining about that, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And relax or go sit in the outfield. The one time you go to a game, you fucking dillwad.
Well, just the fact that same within a week of that girl getting hit, I knew three people who got hit by a foul ball in one weekend.
What now?
Yeah.
We were talking about this? I forgot.
We briefly talked about it. My friend Todd got hit in the face, top of the head with a foul ball. This is the Memorial Day weekend, so it's a 3-day weekend, if that matters to anybody. On Sunday, he got hit with one. I don't know which day Christy Stratton, I think it was Monday, Christy Stratton got hit by a foul ball.
Yeah.
That was at an Angel game. She was at a Dodger game. And then Elise's boss, also at a Dodger game, I think Monday, Memorial Day, also got hit in the back. She saw it coming. Here's the thing about the net. She was doing the right thing. She was watching the game. She saw it coming, and she turned to protect herself, and it hit her in the back and left an insane, crazy bruise on her back.
What happens when you get hit by a ball?
Do you get a free Coke?
Stadium do?
Yeah, like, does someone come to you?
It depends. Like that little girl, they immediately took her to the hospital.
Yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, but I mean, is there fault in that? By going to the game,
I think you forfeit your right.
Automatically say, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the guy that hit the little girl, he was crying.
Yeah, like, the player was wrecked. I mean, he had to be consoled by his teammates because he was so upset.
He was hugging the security guard. Like, he couldn't believe it. And so that fucks with them, too. And if you put the nets up, now maybe they're not going to be thinking about that. Like,
That's going to be in that guy's head for the rest of his
life. How could it not be?
I mean, who knows? That's the other thing. You don't know what happened to that girl. Or at least last night, there was no information.
Yeah, they're being quiet about it.
Which makes me think it's not good. Yeah. Otherwise, the team would be all over. Say, hey, she's fine, she's fine.
Yeah, but the family's being a little close to the vest on that.
Poor thing. That's their right. I just think...
Absolutely.
It's always interesting because the MLB must talk to the broadcast partners about, do not show replays of anyone getting hit by a ball ever, no matter what, unless it's funny.
Right.
Like, did just knock the hot dog out of his hand. Ha ha. But you never, like, the people I just mentioned who I knew got hit by balls, there weren't replays of that because they don't want anybody going, wait a minute, I could get knocked unconscious at a baseball game? Fuck that. I'm not going. So
now you said they got hit in the head because Elliot doesn't remember any of this.
I'll tell.
Was it a direct? I forget. Was it a direct shot or was it?
I think
bounce
so.
Off stuff.
No. I think it was a direct.
Again, I say what I said last time. How is he not dead? Like,
I don't know where he was sitting either. So, like, I don't know the speed of it or the distance. Obviously, it could be it could be anywhere. It could be not so fast, or it could be very fast and horrible. It could be like almost like getting shot with something.
Yes,
but. He was fine to drive home, and he was fine.
Yeah, that part fascinates me.
He had a headache. That was it.
I'm fascinated by it.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it did bounce off something first. I have no idea. The thing I heard about Elise's boss is that she didn't get the foul ball. Like, someone else grabbed it and didn't give it to her. Don't you immediately say, you got hit with this. Here you go.
As I've said for years, if you don't immediately hand the foul ball to a child, you're an asshole.
Yeah. Well, there's that video.
Aren't you cool, 30-year-old?
Did you ever see the video where the middle-aged woman snatches a ball out of the kid's hand and then is all happy about it? I'm like, what are you doing?
You didn't do it. You didn't win. You stole the ball from a child.
And this kid's like, just turns around and walks away. I'm like, I'm going to send this kid a ball. What are you doing? Yeah.
No, you sent it too, huh? What? Talking about a child.
Yes, you are.
He was.
There's no information about this girl, by the way.
That doesn't bode well.
I think the family's just keeping it quiet.
She was conscious when
That's
they
good.
Took her out. There's pictures of her, like, crying, but...
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine. My stepfather, Ron... It was once, because luckily he saw it coming, a guy who was teeing off on the golf course, and he saw it, and he turned his back, and the ball hit him in his shoulder blade.
Yeesh.
And it's like, if it was anywhere to the left or the right, it would have, you know, hit him in the head.
Right.
But he, you know, had a welt and a, you know, literally, dare I say, the size of a golf ball, because it was so, like, that hit you in the tip. You're done.
Did it? The bruise say Titleist backwards in it?
Yeah, and then he made a tattoo out of it, nice. Which was smart. Did you remember where that was? But I remember when it hit him, it's like, and then I was like, we should go home. And he's like, nah, I can get through it. And it's like, we should go home.
Yeah.
That was awful to see.
Ugh. It's like a tiny motor accident. Just right then, that one spot in your back. Ugh. Ouch.
That is what it is. Uh-huh. It's exactly like that.
We were all thinking it's it. Like, you said
crashing into each other on your back.
All right, Garen, give us the. First of all, where is the All-Star game?
Cleveland.
It's in Cleveland.
So that's what I wrote down Atlanta, and then we changed it because of the law thing. And I'm like, in my head, like, where's another like baseball town that would? And I didn't think it was somewhere big like Chicago or something, because I feel like that would have been more in the zeitgeist. Mm. So I was like, all right, Cleveland, and we got it right.
Nice.
Good for you. So you won?
That's called a lucky guess.
That's
literally could have been anywhere.
A lucky guess.
You had 1 in 30 shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, give us the final question.
The final question is I like this question a lot.
Right, well, give us the topic.
It's magazines / music.
Magazines / music.
I'm going all in with my 25 points.
What does that mean?
We
music
don't know.
Magazines? Or it could you'll, be you'll about magazines as or about music.
Now remember, you're starting with 25 points, theoretically. 25. So how much are you going to bet in on that? I'm betting all 25.
I mean, it's meaningless, so I will also bet 25.
It's meaningless. I'm betting 10.
He wants to win. If you and I are wrong, he wins.
That's true.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. What Canadian singer appeared on the cover of the first ever issue of Entertainment Weekly in 1990?
I'm going to write mine.
Say it again.
1990.
What Canadian singer
appeared on the cover of the first ever issue of Entertainment Weekly in 1990?
I'm writing mine down. Did you write yours down, man?
Can I just say it?
Well, two of us then should write it down.
Yeah.
All right, I'm
I'll write
give
it
me
down.
A second. Give me a second.
I'll write it down.
And the year again was 1990, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay. I'm writing something.
Matt and I have gone all in.
I have not.
Oops, I tried probably to slip Circle's name and I failed.
All right.
There's a lot of other writing
down.
Oh, I'm changing mine.
Whoa.
I'm changing mine.
Last minute change.
I'm changing mine.
Boy.
I'm changing mine.
Exciting. Is there someone at our door?
There seems to be some movement out there, yeah.
Come on in, stranger.
Hello.
I can look.
That's fine.
Did we get a package delivered, by the way?
Yeah, we got to open up. We got to hit the mail in a second here.
All right. What did you write down first, Jimmy? And then before you change,
I'm going to reveal that.
Okay. Do you want me to say my guess?
I kind of feel like we got to put a dollar in on this.
All right.
All right.
We got to feel like we got to.
But if none of us get it right, then money goes back.
Yes, Matt.
I hate losing money, as evidenced by not betting when I held two queens last episode. Yeah.
All right. Who says what when?
I say Bryan Adams.
I also have Bryan Adams written down. I crossed something out and wrote down Bryan Adams.
I have Shania Twain.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's too early for Shania Twain.
Fuck me then.
Good guess.
That's what I changed it to.
Did you say Bryan Adams first?
I didn't. Who is it?
It's Katie Lang.
Katie Lang.
Wow.
No, I said Celine
our
Dion.
Answer.
I had Alan Thicke for some reason.
That's a good answer. Celine our Dion. Answer was also Bryan Adams, because that's Robin Hood. That's,
yeah, the big. Sure, yeah.
That's prime one Bryan Adams hits. Time.
Elliot.
Katie Lang.
Good catch.
I never would have thought of Katie Lang.
No, me either.
I don't even think of her as Canadian.
I don't think of her at all.
I don't either.
That's prime Katie Lang time too, right? That was Constant Craving and all that stuff.
That's a great. That's a good question though.
I like that question.
You got that right?
No, we said Bryan Adams.
Oh, you said Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
But you still won.
Confidently said Bryan Adams.
I would have too.
Felt real good. I felt good about it.
I just didn't.
You didn't. You took two swings and didn't say Bryan.
Two ladies. I just missed the.
That's the thing. When you first read it, I thought you said lady, and then I realized you didn't say that. So.
And yet, maybe it was implied in the subtext.
If only I had listened to my heart.
You still would not have said Katie Lang.
No, but I would have at least said a woman. I would have been closer. What would I have said?
By the way, I did win that.
Shania Twain too.
I thought we all were going to have Celine Dion, honestly, and that's why I.
Celine Dion's a good guess.
Yeah, it's a great guess.
You know what? I didn't think of it, but that's. That's like when she first started coming to America.
Yeah.
So that's a good one too.
Get those early hits.
All right, Garen, who's your L recording artist for that money?
I don't know how likely this is, but I'm going 90s country. Going with Lori Morgan.
Lori Morgan.
Ooh.
Lori Morgan. Who, here's a quick piece of trivia for you. Lori Morgan was supposed to do a duet with Peter Cetera, and she wanted them to lower the key so that it was more in her range, and they said nope, and then got Chaka Khan.
Yeah. Oh.
That's a Just Like Heaven, I believe is the name of that song. That's a piece of Lori Morgan trivia for you.
I like picturing Peter Cetera leaning over a desk with a cigar in his mouth going, get me Chaka Khan.
Get me Chaka. A Chaka Khan. I did a show last night, by the way, called Guilty Treasures,
mm-hmm.
where Brian Cook and Andy Wood, mm-hmm. who you know from the Portland Comedy Festival and then the Podfest for a while.
Yep.
They are in a band. And then they invite comics, and then you tell a quick story and as to why you've chosen this song, which is theoretically the premise is songs you hate to love,
mm-hmm.
Crummy songs, but you love. And then mm-hmm. you tell the story why you chose it, and then you sing it.
And they learn it. So they're playing. You're yeah. singing with a live band.
And you have a rehearsal if you want.
Nice. Nice.
You go there and you go to their rehearsal space and rehearse it with them so that it
cool.
sounds good mm-hmm. to the audience. And the first time I did it, I did the song Look Away by Chicago and was not going to do the rehearsal. I was like, you know what? Let's just see what happens. Let's just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out I was available at the exact time that they were rehearsing. I said, you know what? I'll come by. And thank God I did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it makes all the difference in the world, yeah. believe it or not, rehearsal.
I believe it.
That's why. I guess that's why theater troops do it. And
a lot of people rehearse.
Sports teams even kind of rehearse, right?
Yeah, they call it practice, and then that's a line out of Jimmy Pardo's one man show. So I was at the rehearsal. I think in sports they call it practice. So then last night I did Peter Cetera's "Living in the Limelight," and which they busted my balls about how shitty that song is. And I defended it and then did it and realized, man, they might be right. That is...
you have an emotional attachment to it.
100%. And also, when I first went to rehearsal, I said, I think this was a bad choice. And they're like, no, this is great for what we're doing. I was like, but it works because it's Peter Cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It works because of the artist. Like, so yeah. anybody doing a cover of this is a shrug.
Mm-hmm.
It works because it's him.
Yeah.
It's probably not a great song, but you don't care because it's Peter Cetera. And some might not care because it's Peter Cetera.
You don't care because it's Peter Cetera.
Yeah.
The rest of the world just plain doesn't care.
But listening back, I ended up recording myself doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we all did a great job, but mm-hmm. well, I mean, they did a great job. I didn't suck.
Mm-hmm.
I sang. Some may say I sucked. I don't know. But it's a fun show to do.
Yeah.
It's a fun show.
I like that idea.
I saw your tweet about it, and I was kind of mad I couldn't go because I had to work.
Oh.
But that would have been a cool show to see.
It's fun. Mary Lynn was on the show last night. Lizzie Cooperman was on the show. Then some female musician who heckled me as I was telling my story.
Yeah.
I did a very quick, funny answer to something Brian had asked me. And then Brian said, wait, you were in a band in high school? Because why did I pick this song? Mm-hmm. And I chose it because I always wanted to do it in the band.
Yeah.
And nobody was on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I joked. I said, now, based on the way you guys are saying this song sucks, maybe I now understand why they didn't want to do it. Also, I can't really sing it because it's Peter Cetera. And then Brian said, well, what, you were in a band? Like, because he's heard me sing before. And he goes, what did you play? And I said, well, I was the singer, which, as we know, I'm not that great at, so I don't know how I wasn't fired. And he said, so did you guys do a lot of spoken word? I go, yeah, we did a lot of Shel Silverstein. And the woman, musician from the audience, goes, he's a great songwriter, to which I responded, shut the fuck up. You're sucking the fun out of my joke, lady. And then Brian's like, that's the woman performing later. I go, I don't give a shit. You shut your fucking mouth.
Hated kids.
Yeah.
Shel did.
He did.
Yeah. And then she's like, he's underrated. I go, nah, it's right. Some may say overrated. And then who's that some? This guy. And I then did not stick around to see her because I wanted to get home before Oliver went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Nice 7 o'clock start. Boy, do I like that in a program.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, boy, do I like that.
What did Mary Lynn sing?
You know, I don't know. Oh, she did a Georgia-Florida line. Florida-Georgia line?
Florida-Georgia line.
Florida-Georgia line. She did a song by them.
Oh,
the one weird. That's not with the female... young lady who I think they did it at the CMA Award, or they did it on the CMA. Billboard Awards, maybe. We talked about the song on this show.
Oh, it was the Grammys then.
It was the Grammys. That yeah. That young, right? That young lady who,
right?
I can't pull her name. She sings with them.
Yeah,
is it?
Still can't name that song.
Like Rezna,
BB Rexha.
BB Rexha.
Right.
Yeah. So she did that song.
Okay. Cool.
But before
meant
that,
to be.
Before that.
Oh, I do know that song. You know. Yeah, but it's meant to be. It's meant to be.
I Matt and I, of course, we had a meeting here yesterday, but then afterwards I had time to kill. So I went to see the documentary. I went to see the documentary.
Oh, let's see. I've got so many choices.
Pavarotti?
No, not out yet.
No, it's not out yet.
Can I guess?
I watch the doc.
What's your guess, Garen?
Did you go see Echo in the Canyon?
I went to see Echo in the Canyon.
Oh, how was it?
Have you seen that?
I really want to see it. I have not seen it.
Okay.
And?
Mixed reviews. Mixed reviews. I know three people that have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Four people that have seen it.
I want your review. You're being cagey.
I don't want to ruin it for Garen.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
I think it's a great story that was told so fucking poorly.
Oh.
It was infuriating. Jacob Dylan inserted himself in it, and he's in. The director and the editor should be spoken to about their choices. There's one point Graham Nash is literally getting choked up about a story, and they cut to Jacob Dylan going, just fucking nodding. Uh-huh. He also is not a good interviewer. He's also a suck of energy.
Wait, he's the one interviewing everybody?
Yeah, on camera.
That was my concern, that I felt like, because he's a personality.
But he doesn't have a personality. He's a fucking zero.
Yeah, well, he's always been he's never been anything. Even his music, his band's good, I guess, but he's never been a exciting guy.
No. I mean, his dad isn't so much either. His dad's right. Not an electric performer.
So that was a concern. I was like, okay, well, because it's Jacob Dylan. Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm sure that's why they all agreed to do it, was, hey, Jacob Dylan's going to come and talk to you. Mm-hmm. But you could have that happen where there's Jacob Dylan, there's you, and the camera's going this way.
Yeah.
You know, like every other goddamn documentary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Unless you're Michael Moore. You know what
I mean? Like Colin Hanks in the Tower Records documentary, sometimes you hear him off camera, but mm-hmm. they don't set up a second camera or do the broadcast news thing where they cheat and flip the camera after the interview, right, just to get reaction shots, which I understand. Sometimes they cut to the interviewer to cover a cut, but mm-hmm. You don't need to do that anymore. Everyone understands editing and understands documentaries.
100%.
Like, if you just have a jump cut in the middle of a guy talking, it's fine.
The only time you would do it is if you had an audio error and you wanted to fix something in some other way, but you still wanted that continuity.
Yeah.
But for those of us who perhaps don't know what you're talking about, what is this a documentary of?
Echo in the Canyon is about the music scene in Laurel Canyon between 64 and 67.
Okay.
Garen mentioned in the last episode. I think you'd listen to Garen.
You got the Birds.
Once again, I do not listen to this show.
You got the Birds.
Ah, oh yeah. I like the Birds.
The Beach Boys.
Sure.
Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young.
A lot of harmonies happening in these.
Mamas and the Papas.
Okay.
That era.
Got it.
And how it all happened. And then they got, poor Regina Spektor was forced to say this conversationally. Well, how did the Birds come to be? And then here's the story of the Birds. And
now, see, I would rather watch her as a documentary.
You don't want to hear anybody do that. You want them. You want Stephen Stills telling the story.
Just hear the story. You don't need to filter.
And there were times like. To answer your thing about coverage of edits, mm-hmm. I'm sure there were times that was done because they do cut to Jacob Dylan way too many times. Mm-hmm. But more often, many, many times, they would use him as a button to then get out of that. Like he'd be talking to Brian Wilson and then it's him nodding and then on to the next story. It's like, you didn't have to go back to him.
Yeah.
And again, he is a cipher. He is. Yeah. And then the other problem with it was... They did a live show at the Orpheum doing these songs with Jacob Dylan, and then Regina Spektor came out and did a couple songs. Beck came out and did a couple songs. Jade came out and did a couple of songs. I don't give a shit. I don't want to hear Jacob Dylan and his boring fucking voice sing these great songs. Just show me more footage of the actual bands. Like, so it drove me crazy. In fact, one time Jacob Dylan was so bad, Brian Wilson said something. And we're, and I'm going to really badly paraphrase this and mangle it, where he was talking about that somebody, music is, you get inspirations, and it's not necessarily stealing unless it's, you know, mm-hmm. and he got the inspiration from blah, blah, blah. And then so-and-so said that they got the inspiration from me. But then he said, he goes, well, thank you so much, but I actually got that from so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And then Jacob Dylan said, well, it sounds like so-and-so owes you one. Cut. And I literally went, you're not listening! In my chair at the movie theater. Because it was driving me crazy how bad. And again, as an editor, it's like, and then they went out on that.
Right.
The like editor
didn't need that.
Didn't even need it.
Yeah.
So now that you left in this boring human being.
Right.
Saying the exact wrong thing.
Yes. Now, that said, John Roy was there. Comedian John Roy and his wife were there. Mm-hmm. And John very loudly said to me, as the credits were rolling, and I thought we were walking out. We weren't. We were standing in the middle of the movie theater because John didn't realize, hey, if you're going to talk this loudly, maybe you should leave the room. Because people were still watching the credits and stuff. Uh-huh. And then there was going to be one of those after movie stories.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, John, maybe we should take this outside. And he goes, great fucking movie about a great fucking scene.
And well, this was positive.
Loudly. Wow. And then his wife was, because she ran out to go use the restroom as soon as the movie ended, and then she came back. And so now I finally got John into the area, and we're still disagreeing mm-hmm. On it. And then I gave him all my thoughts, as I just did to you guys, and he gave me his review of, I love this scene so much, I don't care about anything you're saying. Was basically his response. Mm-hmm. And then his wife came in and said, what'd you think? And she goes, here's what I thought. I thought it was an hour and a half of Jacob Dylan patting himself on the back. And sucking himself off. Mm-hmm. And then I said, aha, John, she's on my side. And then she said, I also don't need to, you know, just show me the band's play. I don't need to see Jacob. Aha, John. So she and I were kind of together.
Yeah.
Although I think she may have enjoyed me more. And then John loved it. And then Kyle Anderson, I was texting with him. He enjoyed it as well.
Okay.
So mixed reviews.
Got it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because it ends at 67, you then also don't get into Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
And the female, right. Other than the mamas and the papas, you don't get the female
right.
Influences mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. Oh, Fiona Apple was also one of the people that sang one of the songs.
See, I'm not anti cover song. I love cover songs, but I would want, I was going to ask you if they did that sort of thing, but I kind of, if they're going to do that, I would have liked to have seen the originals and them singing it together, even if that was what had to happen.
Yes. Like Brian Wilson shows up and you're like, oh, here we go. Brian Wilson's going to sing. Nope. Fiona Apple is. Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
See, like it was, they would cut to the concert. Like they would be talking right, to people in the studio and stuff. Then they would cut to the concert. To show that, or Jacob Dylan, because he is electric on screen. They would cut to him in a recording studio with just him and a microphone singing.
Wow.
For way too fucking long of a time.
So is this like an album? Like they made an album and then the documentary
goes
hand in hand with
yes.
it. Yes. That's so the documentary is sort of supposed to be promoting the album a little bit.
Well, that's
unnecessarily where no one needs to see that or care. It's like, yeah, great, make the album, but don't just tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you like the story, then yeah. I mean, I agree with Garen. I love a cover, but I don't need to see them create the cover if the point of the documentary is this was an incredible scene with all these great artists.
Dude, it drove me crazy.
See, the idea of this soundtrack, I'm on board with the soundtrack. But if that's what the documentary is, I'm not interested in that. I don't...
No, but that said, the interviews with the people, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash...
Young.
Young did not speak. They showed him playing the guitar, but he did not speak. Michelle Phillips.
Yeah. Did Mark Volman pop up at all? I know he was adjacent to that.
In a still photograph with Frank Zappa.
Huh.
Frank got brought up and, you know, all the people that lived, you know, then they showed a map of how they all lived near each other.
Yeah.
And then also include like showed other like Boris Karloff lived nearby and other folks.
I shouldn't say he was adjacent. He lived there. He lived in Laurel Canyon at the same time.
And was part of the Brothers of Invention.
Yeah, he was part of the scene.
This soundtrack is a Jacob Dylan album.
Ugh. Yes,
he is on every single track.
Yes,
did he? Was he the producer?
Oh,
or
yes,
something?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh well, all right then.
Yeah, it's his project, but So he ruined his own project.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds like maybe somebody like Peter Pardini or somebody should go in and redo this story.
Because well, that's an error. One of the things yes. I want to get more into is that era, because I don't know a lot about that kind of era music besides, you know, like huge names and everything. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's an era that I'm kind of interested in. I want to.
Well, you'll learn. I mean, you learn that again. The interviews are terrific. And then them all telling each other how they met. How did he meet David Crosby? I was in Buffalo Springfield. He was in the Birds. And then we ended up coming together. And all of that stuff is great. I mean, I knew it all. You don't know any of it. You'll love that part of it.
All right. So, you know, I've wavered from wanting to see it to, like, I'll wait for it to come on video to, you know, maybe I'll go see it after
I
all.
I bet you'll enjoy it because yes. if you don't know the stuff, you'll appreciate learning about it.
Yeah.
And you won't be as annoyed by this other thing that Jimmy's talking about.
I'm always obsessed with percentages. What percentage of this movie would you say is the doc that it should have been?
Per ounce?
Per gram, actually.
Per gram. Yeah. Yeah. We're doing milligrams. Grams. I forget we're doing grams.
Yeah, well.
What's your question? I didn't hear
What percentage of the documentary is the story of that versus the concert and Jacob Dylan nodding?
If I could be wrong, 40%.
See, that's
and
a problem.
60% is footage of them in the studio recording.
Oh, that's totally wrong. 60%
is Dylan, Jacob
Dylan.
It
should be 70-30 the other way at most.
But maybe, you know, maybe somebody else would look at it and go, it's 80-20 and you're wrong.
Right.
But is there footage of like the old, like the bands in the heyday sitting around just fucking around with a guitar or anything like that?
They would show them like on American Bandstand, or they'd show them on, Ed Sullivan.
See, but I want to see footage of the community. Like,
well, there were stills of that.
They didn't have.
I mean, I guess they didn't have
iPhones.
Yeah. No,
there might
right,
have been some
right.
kind of home movies of some things.
And there are some home movies, like, and then they would say from Michelle Phillips' collection or whatever, from Roger McGuinn of the Birds.
Right.
I didn't know what I was walking into, so I felt like I was walking into an electronic press kit for this album, basically, like explaining why they made this album.
Mm-hmm.
And
you saying that reminded me. I also watched a doc.
What'd you watch?
All right, hold on.
Doc Talk. Doc Talk. All we seem to do is talk docs.
Jimmy's not going to care about this at all. So I'll make it brief.
You don't know that.
All we seem to do is talk docs.
Dude, I do know that. I watched The Last Watch, which is the documentary of the making of the final season of Game of Thrones, which was actually it caused me to have bad dreams, but not like not nightmares, just dreams that when I woke up, I felt I didn't feel good. And it's because the end of Game of Thrones was a bummer on multiple levels. It was a bummer that it was ending. Like, if you like a show, then it's sad when it wraps up. So there's that melancholy feeling. It was also sad because I feel like it wasn't good and I wanted it to be better. But then the documentary quadruples that feeling because you see everybody working so hard to make this thing. The work that went into it is insane. They basically made 6 movies back to back to back to back to back to back in a year. And these people are all incredible artists, incredible craftsmen. The things they do are amazing, but they're all working in service of what I believe is a terrible collection of scripts. So it's sad to see that happening. And then it's also sad because it's the end of this big saga in their lives, because they've been working on this show for 10 years, most of them.
Right.
And so you get that feeling of like the end of theater, you know, the whatever you and Danielle call it.
Community theater blues.
There's that vibe on top of the vibe of, wow, what a waste of resources this was. Like, see, if only they had put half this much energy into writing it. Did you watch it too?
No.
Okay.
But as the season was going on, I was giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And then I heard what was really happening, basically, that they were offered more money. HBO didn't want the show to end. Nobody wanted the show to end, but they did, the two guys.
David and Dan.
Yeah. Probably so they could get to work on their Star Wars project.
Yeah. And that is the prevailing vibe of the last two seasons, is that these guys are rushing to an ending so they can move on.
I don't understand why they didn't just give the show to somebody else.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I mean, HBO had the power to do that.
I don't know why they didn't. unless there was some type of contractual thing, which makes no sense because these guys were nobodies beforehand.
Right.
So
yeah, it's weird.
That put a really sour. So I'm not quite so much on their side. Yeah. Normally, I'm always on the side of the creator. Like, well, sure. you guys don't know what you're talking about because you're just fans or whatever.
If you know anything about Garen, you know he's on the side of the creator.
We're talking about my Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, exactly.
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord.
And when there was one set of footprints, that's when Garen was being carried by Jesus.
You have that hanging up in your apartment, right?
Yeah, rub the toilet.
That's always where it's at.
Yeah.
Like in somebody's house.
Weird. It's always in the bathroom. Yeah. Always. Yeah. Well, it's beach related. No, you're not getting that. You're not getting it then. No.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Also, you shouldn't have that up.
Anyway, but it's what's cool about the documentary is that they focus on they don't really, you see some of the stars of the show, but it's mostly about they pick a handful of people who work in like one guy, they just picked one extra and they just followed him, and then they picked one guy whose job it was. His title is head of snow. His job was to just take paper and water and spray fake snow on sets to make it look like there was snow.
That's confusing to me. I know there's a character named Jon Snow. Was he in charge of him as well?
No, he was not. That is,
he just coiffed his hair every once in a while.
I believe that joke or some version of that was thrown about on the set, though.
Was it?
It seems like that's there was a lot of.
I apologize for
no. I didn't mean it hackneyed. I didn't mean it that way. I just meant that there is very much a like, haha, Jon Snow in snow. I was like, yes. It is a good.
Then he was also doing cocaine,
of course.
So snow.
Interesting about that idea of following an extra around who's an extra through an entire show.
Yeah, he's been on it not from the first season, but for like the last four.
Was he aware he was being followed?
Yeah,
because I kind of like the idea if you follow an extra around and then he doesn't know it, so that because an extra very often could be, well, I'm an actor and I want to be noticed from this, but I would love to follow an extra around like on the set and see you're bored out of your mind.
Right.
Maybe not on Game of Thrones, but
right. No, I think everybody, there's a lot of waiting around, but I don't know if he realized that. I would assume he did not realize how big of a part in the documentary he was going to have. I think he probably figured, well, they're just shooting a lot of stuff of a lot of people, and I'm one of the people. Who cares? Like, that doesn't mean I'm going to get. They're not going to feature me, but they did. They basically chose five people, I think. And
I got his SAG voucher.
He's. If you see him once, if you watch the documentary, you realize you know this guy because he's had close ups in the show. Mm. He's one of the Stark soldiers, basically.
That's really interesting to me that there's those people who are extras on shows forever, but they never get.
I know, it's weird. And he's not really an actor. He's not a guy who's trying to be an actor. He's just a guy who lives in Belfast, and they were shooting Game of Thrones. He's a huge Game of Thrones fan, so he's like, I got it. And so his approach to it is more like it's more like he's cosplaying. Like, he thinks of it as like, I am part of the Starks, like I am this guy. Like, he's not playing a role, he's like in it, like he's at Comic-Con as the guy, which is kind of odd and funny to see. But yeah, it's an interesting, it's if you like the show, it's worth watching. If you don't, there's no reason to watch it whatsoever, obviously. But yeah, it was cool, but again, made me very sad. And we stopped halfway through, and then I had bad dreams about it because I felt sad about the whole thing. But well, that's how it goes.
Yeah, shows end.
Mm-hmm.
Dreams do too.
It's true.
I know. Mine ended about 20 years ago. What? Hit it one more time, Elliot.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, unprecedented. Triple Bach.
Documentaries come out a lot. It's a flick, not a biopic.
This one's really grown up.
Like when we were talking about, because you couldn't hear the words the first version of it, and so we asked Mike to like remix it. But even when we were talking about that, I was like, I think this is one where the words are fun. If you hear it multiple times, it's going to be fun to like actually figure out what the words are.
It would have been great if you would have sent the remix, but it had like remix at the beginning of it.
Another
just
one.
Went to this classic
DJ Khaled.
Another one.
Oh God! Sorry to interrupt this, but I just remembered that at the end of Aladdin, have you still not seen Aladdin?
No.
The end of Aladdin. Spoiler alert: Will Smith does a rap song.
No.
Recounting the events of the thing, which is
that sounds great.
It is great. Yeah,
I mean, he's the best at it.
That's the thing. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that Demi Adejuyebe makes fun of, which is because he did that for Men in Black and Wild Wild West. So now his joke is like, what if he did that for Oscar movies and every movie he ever made? But he really did do it for this one. But the only problem is, it's produced by DJ Khaled. So the movie ends, the credits start, and you hear DJ Khaled. So fucking unnecessary and out of place in a movie set in ancient,
right,
the ancient Middle East. What the fuck is happening? Why is, and maybe, I guess because his name is vaguely Muslim, maybe that there is some connection there, but it's just so jarring to have DJ Khaled's
nonsense
brand stamped on that movie.
DJ Jazzy Jeff feel about that?
Yeah, no kidding, like, right? If anybody, if any DJ is going to get in there,
yeah,
get Jazzy Jeff.
Betrayal.
I agree, because I love DJ Jazzy.
It's Jafarish.
Yes, it is.
They both, I guess, from what I understand, Jazzy Jeff and his partner Will Smith, is that?
Yeah.
They both had the trouble with their parents when they were younger.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's a sad story, actually. Yeah, they didn't understand.
Nope.
The parents didn't?
The parents just didn't understand.
I see. They were trying to get their point across.
They're just living their lives as teenagers in what I can only assume was suburban America. Mm-hmm. And the parents didn't really relate to the struggles they had. No. Like, one time they like went clothes shopping for school.
What happened?
The mom's like, you know, bringing in butterfly collars and bell bottoms and...
Well, that's not what the kids were wearing at that time.
No, Will Smith was like, oh, Mom, this is embarrassing. And she said, you know what she said to him?
What she said?
She said, mother, you go to school to learn, not for a fashion show.
Wow.
What a bitch.
Perfect button on the bit.
Did you sneak some Diet Dr. Pepper? Is that why that happened? He's back. He's funny. Back and funny.
Yep.
So the documentary that Danielle and I saw,
yeah.
Elliot alluded to on the last episode, we watched Ask Dr. Ruth.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Wait, where is that again?
That is the Hulu.
On Hulu. Elliot, what was your review of it?
I said it was heart-rending.
Heart-rending.
Yes.
And you cried.
And I did cry more than once.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put it as far as the best documentaries you've ever seen?
I think I see where this is going.
I mean, I thought it was pretty high up there, an 8 or 9 maybe.
Where do you think I'm going?
I think you're going 10.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It is phenomenal.
It's first of all, a classic documentary. It does all the things you want it to
do.
Cool.
And she's fantastic.
You love her. She's 91 God. Years old. 91 when they're shooting this.
Uh-huh.
But she 89, and then she turns 90 in it. That's not a spoiler. But and I don't want to say too much because I want you guys to watch it. It's really real.
Oh, cool.
And admittedly, a lot of stuff I did not know at all about this woman.
She has had an incredible life.
Yeah.
Done more than any of us could dream of doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really. So watch it.
Yeah.
I heard she booked Jay Moore once.
Is that in the documentary?
That is not the documentary. That is.
But
not,
how is Jacob one thing Dylan when he interviews Dr. Which, Ruth? Is that
Jacob Dylan kind of ruins it the 1 second he's in it?
Yeah, man.
That would be a great meme if only that documentary were more well known. Is to just insert Jacob Dylan nodding in into everything.
Yeah. By the way, you know what's going to happen is the editor of that movie is a fan of the show. And they're going to email me, Jimmy, my name is Scott, and I'm the editor, and I'm very sorry that you. I don't know if his name's Scott.
God. I hope that doesn't happen.
I guarantee you that's all Jacob Dylan.
You think the editor was like,
add me.
He was trying not to. Why would Jacob Dylan be that? Well, I guess he's
trying to. Jacob Dylan thinks himself this. He thinks he's his dad. So he thinks he has that same kind of gravitas. So he thinks he's the guy that needs to usher in the knowledge of all these. I know Jacob Dylan personally.
It's funny to me that you have a take on what Jacob Dylan's like.
Yeah. Because
I have no clue what he is or what he isn't.
You can just tell the way he...
You really can after this movie.
Yeah, he just thinks
he also
he's
seems humorless.
Yeah.
That I could believe.
Somebody said something. One good album, The Wallflowers.
Yeah.
Their first one.
They also have one headlight. So.
Hey, that's a reference to the tune on the album.
Oh,
let's check him back there, the councilman. That's Elliot Hochberg.
Hello. He didn't get his L artist.
Yeah. Oh. That's what started
Lori Morgan.
Oh, right. Sorry, I forgot.
Started that. Remember, I told you that great Peter Cetera story.
So long ago, I couldn't even remember it.
Yeah, went from that to...
I thought he said that on, like, 6 episodes ago when we were actually on L.
We check him. There he is, back there behind the village. That's the councilman, Elliot Hochberg. Hello, Elliot.
Hello.
What's going on? Anything else going on besides the election?
Other stuff. The one thing I will say is that I was disheartened
the other day.
What?
Disheartened. I was made sad.
Disheartened?
Vehemently disheartened?
All right, we can look it up.
Is this going to be a heartrending situation for us?
Where it's both of them?
Where we try to correct you.
Disenchanted?
I was disenchanted. I definitely was that.
I'll put a chip on this. I think it's disheartened.
I know disheartened is definitely a word, but I believe disheartened is also.
I don't even know how to spell disheartened.
D-I-S-E-N.
Heartened.
Heartened. It might be H-A-R-T, but I think it's H-E-A-R-T. Well,
there's no such word. It's disheartened.
All right.
Having lost determination or confidence. Dispirited.
Fair enough.
You owe me a chip. I know no one agreed to that.
Can I throw it at your head?
Oh, really? You're going to give me? Really? Oh,
sure,
you didn't have to do that. I appreciate
I'm
it, right?
fine.
you know it's not a big deal, right?
I know it's not a big deal.
Okay.
And I like making up words sometimes, too, so I don't have a problem with
don't
that.
Don't rationalize why the fuck it happened. You said the word wrong.
You know, technically, all words are made up.
Maybe that's one they'll start using now. I mean, that could be.
Maybe if Measure EE passed, we wouldn't
that's not my fault. That's Gary's.
No, it's not. But again, I'm glad to hear from a single guy without children. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You were going to talk about
So, no, I was also
disheartened when I heard that you voted no.
Fair enough. You know, with all of the civic-minded stuff that I've been involved with recently, somebody put their dog poop bag in a recycling bin.
Ugh.
And I was in my mind I wanted to fix it, but I'm not going to because I didn't want to touch it. But here's the thing: it's a person who thinks enough to clean up after their dog properly. That's great.
Was this at your building?
No, it was. I was walking elsewhere in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So they're that aware, and by the way, not a block away, there was a regular trash can that they could have used. Maybe it was an old person, and they just I can't carry this anymore. Whatever, I don't know. But I just saw that. I was like, how does that happen? How does that combination of things happen?
Well, we've had the conversation on this very show where I don't like when they even just put it in my trash can.
Sure. But at least if they do that.
I don't think about that conversation every single time. Pick up my dog.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
It's a curse.
You're welcome.
But putting it in the recycle bin is just, and not only that, it was a full recycle bin. So it wasn't like they just didn't notice it was a blue bin.
Right.
It's full of cardboard. Clearly a recycle bin.
I honestly think it would be better to bag it and leave the bag on the ground than put it in the recycling
too,
bin.
Though.
But you know what I mean? Because like putting it in with recycling is
that
like
it could disgusting. Ruin the entire bin.
Also, yeah. Think about the other step of it is mostly sadly are homeless. They go through our recycling to get those bottles. So now you got a person who is down on their fucking luck. And
probably hasn't had a chance to have a shower.
And it's awful. And then they're going to put their hand in there to go, oh, where are the bottles at? And now they get a handful. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're old or any. Come on, man. Have some thought for others.
Yeah. Yuck. That was the thought that I had. So.
What was it like tied up?
It was tied up.
It's tied up, but you know what, Garen? Somebody else then comes along the next time they shove a cardboard box
and it rips.
Well, open. No, my question is, then why didn't you just grab?
Why don't you take it out? Oh, he didn't want to touch
it.
I thought about it. I
feel like you could have been reheartened if you just grabbed it.
I believe you meant re-enheartened.
Boy, your jokes suck. Get back on the juice, man.
People have been leaving their dog bags outside the front gate of my apartment.
What?
This is like dropped right there on the side. I'm like, what are you doing?
No. Come on.
It's not an option. That is not an option.
Are they just angry that they have to clean up after their dog? It's dog poop. I should just leave it there.
On my run today, I know, and I made eye contact. This woman and I locked eyes as I was on my run. It was clear she was not going to clean it up. Mm-hmm. Saw me running towards her, jogging, made eye contact, and then you saw her like
miming that she was taking a bag out?
No, she did. She pulled the bag out.
Do it. Okay.
But it was, you could tell she was going to let this one go. Like there was just something like, and then, because again, when we locked eyes, there was something like, "Oh, I've been caught."
Yeah,
and then
I have like there have, at least once, maybe twice, I have been on a walk, realized I was out of bags. Buster poops. I go home. I get the bags, and I go all the way back to wherever it was to pick it up. That's how much I don't want people leaving shit on lawns or the.
Well, it's awful because again, you're thinking again. It's selfish people
yeah,
and right. lazy. that lawn theoretically could be three children that are out there playing soccer, and now you've just ruined not only their day by that happening. They go into the house. Hey, look what just happened. They don't know to take it off at the porch, and they bring it all through the house.
Yeah, right.
So that fuck anybody that doesn't clean up after their dog.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
And if it takes putting in recycling like I had to do yesterday, so.
I mean, luckily you were in Palm, so.
Well, luckily I don't give a shit all. It's a shit all. It's about to get worse from what I understand.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't know if I had a business there, I'd be looking at other areas.
No.
I would move anywhere else to not deal with this guy.
Why are you a grandmother in this?
Now.
Reflect the thoughts of Elliot Hochberg.
Right.
Business rep of.
Of course.
1,000 palms.
Hey,
1,000 palms. 5,000 palms. Turns out historically.
Yeah, we're in the club, which means I was able to be very free with my review of that documentary.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have been that forthcoming in an Earwolf episode. Now, who's your L recording artist?
I'm going to go with Loretta Lynn.
Loretta Lynn. Now, that's
double L.
That's a double dip, isn't it?
It is.
Doesn't do me any extra points, but but still, singer, lady.
And what are we playing for? $15?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
$15?
I thought it was more.
Now, remember, because last time with the P, it was a bummer. There was only going to be $10.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, what do you got?
I'm going to go Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Now, remember, there was controversy last time over that, and she does that song Poker Face.
Poker Face.
I almost went with Lady Gaga, too, but I didn't.
Great. Tell us other things you almost do.
I almost saw Echo in the Canyon, and I didn't. Saw Godzilla instead.
Is that the last movie you saw was Godzilla?
Yeah.
When you saw that had that Dr. Pepper?
I liked Godzilla.
You mentioned that.
It was fun.
And then you said to Jimmy, oh yeah, if you like the last one, you'll like this one. And Jimmy said, I didn't.
I did not.
You saw this one, didn't you?
No, I didn't see this one.
Oh, I thought you saw it.
No. I've of all the people I know that have seen it, only one has said they liked it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because I have no connection to the old Godzilla movies that
I don't either.
I think most people don't. I think it's just that if you appreciate a disaster movie, which you do, then you can go for the thrills of just things getting ripped apart. And but like the reviews I've read, it just kind of seems like it's a spectacle with kind of an empty spectacle. Like there's really not.
Yeah,
you agree with
that? That's what you would expect from a Godzilla movie.
And they also, the thing that they try to do is balance the human and the monster, and I don't know necessarily that that's...
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have a movie that's just monsters.
Right.
I don't know if people want that, but...
I thought the first Godzilla was too much monster. I thought it was too...
See, most people think there wasn't enough.
Every time I turned around, he's fighting somebody new.
You're talking...
Stop it.
You're talking about the last one, not the Matthew Broderick one, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And it was also too dark for my liking.
Mm-hmm.
This one's dark, too.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
How was my boyfriend? Did you do a nice job, Kyle Chandler?
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah,
he's got that George Clooney thing.
Does he have the George Clooney thing?
But, I mean, that he's always Kyle Chandler.
In terms of he's like a, but he's a man.
But but it also works. Like, there's not a lot of people that you could say that they're themselves, and it works for everything they do.
Right.
George Clooney's one, and Kyle Chandler's one. It just.
Yeah, you just you
it just works.
You cast him because you want Kyle Chandler.
Want Kyle
Chandler. What if Kyle Chandler were a scientist?
Yeah. Now, if you want to watch Catch-22, which we're watching, has both George Clooney and Kyle Chandler.
Oh my gosh!
So get ready to put two cocks in your hand.
That's one of the million shows I've been meaning to watch. Is it good?
Yeah, we're liking it a lot.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
We're only three in, I want to say, but we're liking it a lot. I wish there was more George Clooney. I'll say that because he is a joy.
Mm-hmm.
And in this role, he's he's at his Clooney doing a comedy reads best.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it is a comedy.
Mm.
Well, Catch 22 is also that, like the book.
Yeah.
I haven't read it, but I'm aware that it's kind of a comedy.
It's there's funny and then there's not,
because it's war.
Yeah, it's war.
Mm.
What's that good for?
Comedy.
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Absolutely war. Nothing. War.
All right, Matt, you give me your L?
Yeah, I said Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah, how'd that go? How did I respond?
You said she has a poker face.
Yeah, I did. I did say that.
Pop, 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 poker face. Pop, pop, poker face. I want to hold them like they do in Texas, please.
Oh, arm. Sheep, sheep, scoop. Were the fans able to weigh in?
Yes, sir. Let's do a little refresh on this to see if anything's changed. No, okay, here we go. I'm going to blow through these, starting with, at the bottom, Lori Morgan.
Lori Morgan, she's already come up once before.
Weird.
Laura Branigan.
Laura Branigan. Mm. I believe that's who it was last time. Isn't that who I said last time? Maybe I said it again this time.
I don't remember. Lulu.
Lulu, huh?
Yeah. I don't know who Lulu is.
She had a huge hit in the... she ended up coming back on American Idol as a mentor one episode, because, you know, what 20-year-old doesn't want to be mentored by Lulu? Let me ask my grandparents if they remember you. That's not an insult on her.
What was the hit?
To Sir With Love.
To Sir, yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's funny and absolutely fabulous.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she pops up every once in a while, and she's pretty funny, but...
You have to know I don't trust any opinion of yours. You have to know that at this point.
Have you ever watched FM?
Have you ever shut up? How about that for an hour? Am I a child? Would that come back? What,
have you ever watched it?
Yeah, have you ever done something else? Okay, yeah, you have a dummy. It was not my cup of tea, Karen.
Oh, okay.
To answer your question.
It was Laura Branigan last time, and Rich Tackenberg won.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that's
right.
That's right. Rich did win. He was sitting over in that seat right there. Mm-hmm. What a day that was.
Lauryn Hill...
Oh, yeah.
Lauryn Hill.
Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
Luba?
Mm.
Nope.
Lana Del Rey.
Mm.
Lita Ford.
Mm. Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. I thought of that, too.
Linda Ronstadt.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me a hard time on pronunciation of that last time, I believe.
Well, you messed it up again.
It's Ronstadt.
You said Rodstadt.
You did this time.
Ronstadt.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get that.
And by the way, nobody would have brought that up except you made a big point about it.
You made a big fucking deal about it. You said it. Right.
I was focusing so hard on
that
D.
Yep. Yeah, you put the D somewhere else because you were so
Ronstadt.
Yep.
All right, Lisa Stansfield, which I think is what I said last time.
Yeah, it might have been you. Yeah.
Lisa.
Yeah, the cold jam.
Which someone said last time, maybe Karen. Maybe I don't know.
I don't remember what I said last time.
My guess, Loretta Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lena Horne.
The classic, the lady.
The and the friend of the show, Double L, Lisa Loeb.
Lisa Loeb, sure, absolutely. Absolutely. These are
that's the number one.
All right, here we go. I wrote down three today. That seemed like enough.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
What? One?
Nope, I'm going to go in order. Number three, LaToya Jackson.
Which came up the last time, as I recall.
The alien.
I can't believe she let herself be the alien.
Yeah, that's a little on the nose.
But didn't she say she kind of feels like she's an alien? Didn't she, like, explain it?
Yeah. But meanwhile, everyone was thinking, yeah, you also look like an alien. And everyone for 40 years has made jokes about how your family's from another planet.
Yeah.
So this is kind of weird that you're doing this.
When is season two of that coming back?
I don't know.
Follow up. Why is it coming back?
Well, it's like, who very popular.
Well, do you think it's one of those where, like, it was very popular, so now maybe some other more bigger, known people?
Well, I'll say this. I will start watching the second season to see if that's the case. And if there is any sense that didn't happen, I will stop watching
it. On it.
They're cutting the budget on that show, too.
Wait,
it's coming in-house now. Fox is doing it all in-house, and I think they're slashing the budget on it.
Wow. I mean, most of the budget was in the costumes, but otherwise, what was in that budget?
I think the staging was unnecessary. Like, why are those judges up in some weird balcony? Just put them at a table.
How about four less judges? You don't need any of them.
You know what? How about that?
That saves
money.
Yeah,
I don't need you to help me guess.
Yeah. But what industry chat room are you hanging out in that you know that?
I think it was on Hollywood Reporter or something.
Really?
Like that.
That's interesting.
It's coming back, but they're cutting the budge.
Hmm. Well, that does not bode well for...
Unless the show is shorter. Because it could be a shorter show.
Oh, it's boy, half hour. Boy, you know what? Sure could.
I think you could do... four episodes, maybe.
Well, not just that, but if every episode, because look,
like
90% of that 90% of that show is the chitter chat.
Yeah.
If they cut down some of the chitter chat and made that show half as long,
which again, if you cut those judges,
who's the host again? I'm blanking the host's name.
It's not smooth.
Nick Cannon.
There you go.
That's right, Nick Cannon.
Nick Turbin.
Probably was paid a lot because he had been hosting America's Got Talent for a while, so that I'm sure his quote was crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, anybody can host that show.
Yeah. Although there's something new with quotes where they're not allowed to use them, yeah.
But he could also say
but
no.
He could also say no.
Amount.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you could also say, well, we're used to getting a little bit more than that.
Right.
But you can't go in with the quote.
Right. Because it's a labor law violation.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which, again, it makes no sense to me. It's like you can go in and go, yeah, I usually get paid $50,000 an episode. Yeah, we're not going
to
do that.
I think it's supposed to help people who don't have a high quote.
Yes.
Okay,
I think you're right.
Here's some details from Nick Cannon.
Oh, here we go. Thank heavens.
I heard that the phone's ringing off the hook of people who want to be on the show. It's the number one show on television. I don't think that's true. So I think they had a good time booking it this season. I hear the costumes are even more elaborate. I hear last season we had 12 performers. He was there.
I hear all this from the piece of paper the producers handed me. Yeah. This is where I'm hearing it.
I hear we got 16 now.
Oh, well, that goes.
And I hear there's like an egg costume.
Do we know when this is going on, Garen? Is that any of the things he's heard about?
The fact that was the last thing on the list.
This fall.
Like, everything is like, it's going to be bigger, more people, crazy costumes. I've also heard there's an egg.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were waiting for. That was what was missing.
Okay, I'm in. I was resistant.
It is incredible.
And is it also edible?
The egg.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if you watch the like Korean one and the all the ones from other countries, the costumes are so much crazier. It's always like a sushi roll and right. Like just totally bizarre.
Well, that'd be more fun.
It is more fun. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I heard the rumor there's an egg in this.
Jenny McCarthy heard that because this first season was so successful that so many what they call A-list celebrities have clamored to be a part of season two. So I think you're going to see people on this show that are like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing the show.
Oh,
well. You know what? This ruse will last for maybe couple of weeks, and then you start going, no.
No, that didn't
that
happen.
That didn't happen.
You're exactly
all.
Right.
Yeah.
And it seems like all the people are coming back, too. All the judges.
Like, season two is, it's going to be like, we got Cheech! right.
Lulu! Last season we had
We couldn't. We tried to get him. Failed. But this time, we got him.
All right. Well, that was LaToya Jackson.
Yep. Okay.
Friend of the show, Lisa Loeb. Mm-hmm. And then, because I'm a dickhead, and this was literally the first name I thought of, Laurie Anderson.
So not Lonnie Anderson, even.
Who's Laurie Anderson? Anderson.
Laurie Anderson's that, like, eclectic, artsy
weirdo bullshit.
New York art scene performance artist kind of.
Bank the prize!
Can you name a song by Laurie Anderson?
Not for $1 million.
I can't either.
I could not. I can I'm picture sure the album cover because one album actually sold pretty well.
I can picture her, but yeah, I bet if you found like what her most well-known song is and played it, we'd probably recognize it, right?
All right, let's find out.
I don't know who this person is.
Laurie Anderson. You just have to look and click on the one that
L-A-U-R-I-E
says the most downloaded. There's something that says that, right?
I have to top go to hit. iTunes.
Has your thing switched over from iTunes to music yet or whatever?
Oh, God. Whoa, sorry. That's only on the desktop. It's already, you know, this is already called Apple Music on the phone.
Okay, here's...
So. Well, it has not happened on my desktop yet.
Oh, no, it's going to be in September. Oh,
I see. You see, this is great.
This is the top one?
Yeah.
This is from the 80s.
No.
This has a full bar of popularity on iTunes.
I don't know what that means.
It means the lines this are is the clear most. Across. To...
Wait, what?
I got a meter.
But you mean it's full or it's full. Empty?
No, it's full.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got a full.
But doesn't that just mean... With respect to your search of her name, it's the top thing.
Yeah, but I don't know how often I see... This is garbage.
Give it a sec.
Not a bitch, huh?
Give it a sec. I just gave it 43 secs.
Well.
Yeah. It was never
for
me.
She's got a ton of albums.
It's not pop music. It's just experimental noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Big Science is that album.
The manager, Keith, at the record store, I want to say that he was a big Laurie Anderson fan. We, you know, we would all take turns listening to album sides on a busy day. You got to get both sides on a slow day. He would torture us with that from 2 to 3 o'clock.
Like, that's a bit crazy to have that playing in a store.
Right? On a weekend, certainly. Although I don't think he would do it on the weekend, to be fair to him.
Let's be fair to Keith, guys.
Yeah, he never played this. Let's be fair to Keith. You know, I made all this. No, I'm kidding. He did, and it would drive me fucking bananas. All right, we got to go. Mm-hmm. I gave the numbers, and we gave the answers. Nobody won.
Yep.
Thank you guys for listening. We thank everybody, of course, for supporting Never Not Funny, and certainly being here in the member of the Players Club. Mm-hmm. We do have that live LA date coming up that we'll be able to reveal some details of. I guess we could give the date. Right?
Yeah.
But before, I maybe we shouldn't give any details until that thing's locked in.
Yeah. Was there mail you wanted to open?
No.
Yes.
Do it next show. We're out of time. That's just what I was going to do. Garen, let me run my show.
How about that?
I just didn't want you to forget.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to forget to tell you what time we're recording next time. On behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, there's Garen Cockrell behind the Video Village. That's the Councilman Ellie Hopper. There's the Honcho Matt Belknap. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47 gone, not forgotten.